For those of you in the back, there are seats up front if you want to come up here while we transition speakers. Adele will be speaking on spatial epidemiology of birth defects in Nevada, a geographic information system and spatial scan statistic approach.
I'm scared about that. Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. As Erica said, my name is Adele Mburia Mwalili. I'm with the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health. And I must introduce my co-author, Dr. Agricola Odoi with the University of Tennessee. And our presentation is titled Spatial Epidemiology of Birth Defects in Nevada, a Geographic Information System and Spatial Scan Statistic Approach. This is the outline of our presentation. We'll cover introduction, methods, results, discussion, and if time allows, some questions. I know Nevada is known as a desert state, but actually we do have some snow-peaked mountains and there's some snow ski resorts there. Okay, birth defects are an important public health issue because they affect 3% of births and they're the leading cause of infant mortality, causing 1 out of 5 deaths. And of course, as we know, with birth defects, there's an increased morbidity and mortality among children with birth defects, and there is high cost and emotional cost associated with this among those children. In addition, birth defects can lead to lifelong disability, which can put strain on the family, society, and the healthcare system. Some common birth defects include congenital heart defects and Down syndrome. So birth defect surveillance began in the 1960s because of the thalidomide tragedy, that children started being born with limbs in Europe and other parts of the world where thalidomide was used as a pill for morning sickness. But thankfully, here in the U.S., we need to thank the late Dr. Francis, who was the FDA commissioner then, and when the papers came to her desk for her to approve this drug, she had questions and wanted more studies done, and lo and behold, more children were being born elsewhere with the birth defects, and so she did not approve of this drug, and that's how here in the U.S., we did not experience this tragedy that other parts of the world were experiencing. And because of that, CDC established the first population-based birth defect surveillance program in 1967. And then 30 years later, the National Birth Defects Prevention Network was established. And the main reason this was established was to coordinate all birth defects surveillance programs in the country and all related research and prevention efforts. And then, of course, after this body was formed, it's a volunteer-based body, and in 1998, the Birth Defects Prevention Act came to be, and in 2004, the National Birth Defects Prevention Network published guidelines on how to conduct birth defects. And in 2013, there were 43 population-based birth defects programs, and only 14 of those are funded by the CDC. Oops. Well, there are three main things that one needs to be aware in birth defect surveillance, and the first one is case ascertainment methods. There are three main ways that birth defects programs ascertain their cases. The first one, which is the gold standard, is the active surveillance or case ascertainment of birth defects, whereby program staff go to hospitals or other birthing facilities and actually make sure that those cases actually have happened or they have those conditions, and they make sure they are in their program or surveillance database or whatever the case may be. And then another way that programs do to ascertain cases is to have those hospitals or birthing facilities report to them. So they are not going out to seek or find out those cases. They are asking those hospitals or birthing facilities to report to them. And the third way is a hybrid of the two, whereby a program can request, for example, those hospitals or birthing facilities to report to them the cases. And then the program can decide to maybe ascertain, to go out there and ascertain a certain percentage or a certain type of birth defects. And in our case, we are a small state, so they report to us and then someone goes out to make sure that indeed what they reported to us is actually the case. And the second thing is pregnancy outcomes. We know there are different kinds of pregnancy outcomes. We have live births. We have live births and stillbirths and all possible pregnancy outcomes, which includes live births, stillbirths, and elective terminations. And the third item is the nomenclature used. We know up to last year in October, most of these birth defect surveillance programs used ICD-9 codes, but now that's not the case beginning last year. So that's a good thing that we are now using ICD-10, but bear in mind that that will take a while. So far, we only have 9 months of worth of data in ICD-10. So we still will have to use ICD-9 until we get enough data in ICD-10 to do any more work. So in ICD-9, ICD-10 were being used by programs, and as I mentioned, only very few of those were using ICD-10. And CDC used another coding scheme that was developed in Britain, the British Pediatric Association. They modified it a bit so that it can be more specific, because as we know, ICD-9 was not specific enough. So the objective of our study was to investigate the spatial patterns of birth defects and identify areas with significantly high risk of the condition using a spatial scan statistic. Of course, we are a desert and we do have some desert features in Nevada, so yes, indeed we are. So the methods that we used data from Nevada Birth Outcomes Monitoring System, and the program chose this name because it doesn't bring the connotation of something that's not nice. So that's what we call our birth defect program, Nevada Birth Outcomes Monitoring System. For ease, I'll just call it NBOMS. We use data from NBOMS and live birth certificate for the period of 2005 to 2011. And birth defects were defined by ICD-9 codes in the range of 740 to 759. We also used United States Postal Service zip codes as the geographic unit of analysis. And we got a Nevada shape file from Esri. And we also used sociodemographic variables from the American Community Survey to see if any of those variables would explain birth defects. So we expressed birth defects as the proportion of birth defects to live births in a zip code for 10,000 live births. And to address the small number problem, we smoothed the risks using spatial empirical Bayesian smoothing in the GEODA software. GEODA is an open source software, so we just downloaded it and used it to smooth our rates. Then we used a spatial scan statistic, which was implemented in SatScan, another open source software, to investigate clusters of high risk of birth defects, usually a purely spatial discrete Poisson model. There are two options in SatScan. You can either choose Poisson or Bernoulli, but without birth defects are a rare event, so we opted to use a Poisson model. And then the likelihood ratio test was used to identify clusters, and the p-value was used to assess the significance of the clusters that were found. And then ArcGIS was used for all cartographic displays to display the cluster and the smooth rates of bug defects. These are the US census variables that we explored to see whether they could explain the cluster that we found, the percent below poverty level, percent with less than high school education, percent of female-headed households with children, percent with less than 25,000 per year annual household income, and percent of households on public assistance. Yes, beautiful Lake Tahoe. This is the largest alpine lake in North America, very close to the capital city, Carson City, and it's a great place people visit in the summer, and even in the winter, there are ski resorts around Lake Tahoe. So our results showed that during this study period of 2005 to 2011, about 11,000 infants had a total of about 17,000 birth defects, and during the same time, about 266,000 live births were reported. 23 zip codes did not report any birth defects, and 41% of the female infants had birth defects. So this is a table showing the percent of birth defects by maternal race, ethnicity, and the rate per 10,000 live births. Notice that even though blacks make up only 12%, their rate is the highest among the racial groups: white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native American. So when we looked at the census variables to try and see whether they could explain anything in the cluster only, we noticed that the p-value in the bivariate analysis for female headed households was 0.01, and percent on public assistance and percent of less than 25,000 annual household income, they all had p-values of less than 0.05. And these were the results from the SAT scan, the special cluster. It had a total number of 42 zip codes, and the live birth in the zip codes was 129, about 129, and the observed birth defects was about 10,000, and the expected number of birth defects should have been about 8,500, and the proportion of number of birth defects per 100,000 live births was 7,831, and the p-value, of course, was less than 0.1. So these are the maps for the smooth rates, the one on your left, and the one on the right is the one for the cluster that we found. I decided to put them together so that we can see where the rates are and how they compare to the cluster. And of course, it's clear that the area where the cluster is, the rate was rather high. It was between 704 to 1,449. So there is some relationship there. And of course, we decided to map the results of the rates by race, ethnicity. These are not smooth. We mapped the white, black, Hispanic, and Asian, and you can see the variations by the race, ethnicity. And we also decided to map some sociodemographic factors. Again, a lot of variations, and we can see from this map why really there wasn't much explanation to our cluster by sociodemographic factors. You can see from the map really on the southwestern part of the Nevada where the cluster was found, there isn't a big clustering of these sociodemographic factors. Yes, everyone knows fabulous Las Vegas. In fact, I heard in the news today, ABC reported that the Cavaliers went to celebrate in Las Vegas, so it must be really famous. So our study investigated the spatial patterns and clusters of birth defects in Nevada, and of course the results show variations of birth defects within counties. So the norm is to, at least in my state, we normally do everything by county. It's rare we go below county level, sub-county, anything. But the results show that really, even within a county, there can be variations, and maybe we need to change the way we do things by looking at units lower than the county. And birth defects research needs to think about these things because, I was just mentioning how we do our calculations by county level and not go below county level or sub-county level analysis. However, most programs and especially birth defect surveillance systems or groups or programs need to go beyond that because you could have a whole county, but pockets of those counties could have variations, and maybe it would be useful to look at that so that the scarce resources can be directed where there's most need. And of course, there's a need to look into the cluster that our study found to find out if there's anything that can explain that cluster so that children do not have to have in the future, this doesn't keep on happening. We need to find out the reasons why this is happening. Oh, how do I go back? Okay. Of course, there are limitations to our study. Like I mentioned, ICD-9 codes, everyone knows the limitations of those of ICD-9. They are not descriptive enough, but that's now resolved with ICD-10. And like I mentioned in the very beginning, the different pregnancy outcomes, we only used our surveillance system only uses live births, yet the other birth outcomes can have unique characteristics in relation to birth defects. And of course, the smoothing technique that we used is, just like other smoothing techniques, is prone to edge effects, whereby those zip codes that are on the edge, you do not have enough information to borrow for smoothing so that the rates can be, you can address a small number problem. For example, if a zip code is right in the middle of Nevada, you have all these neighbors to borrow from, as opposed to a zip code that's next to the border that you cannot borrow information from for smoothing. Yes, we have actually only 3 counties that are urban. The other 15 counties are all rural and frontier, so you can drive for long stretches without seeing any towns. So when you come visiting Nevada, be careful and make sure if you're having a road trip, you fill up your tank. So in conclusion, our study showed that spatial analysis and cluster detection methods and GIS are useful tools in birth defect surveillance, which identify locations lower than counties with the most need to target scarce resources appropriately. And these are our references, our contact information, and thank you very much.
Hello, calling Kaylin from Kentucky. I was just wondering, you didn't mention how many birth defects did you analyze? What kinds? Were they the same birth defects that were tracked by the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network? And did you analyze all birth defects together as one, or did you analyze each birth defect separately to determine clustering?
Thank you for your question. We analyzed about 17,000 birth defects. And our study was mainly exploratory, so we all did analyze them together, but our next steps is to tease out all the subgroups of birth defects. Yes.
Hi, Adele.
Hi.
Brenda Noggle from the Virginia Health Department. So you mentioned edge effects, but how did you feel like, how does having a border affect your estimates? Because I know you said there was an effect, but I was wondering if you could explain how it may be artificially high or low, or how it changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. It does not affect the estimate. What it affects is the neighbor to borrow from for smoothing. This is purely for smoothing purposes, just to improve the visual look of the map. It doesn't have anything to do with the rate, because we're trying to normalize the rate because of the small number problem to make it look to address the variances. So it really doesn't affect the rate. It's just the smoothing and the visual look. Smoothing is not for statistical computation. It's just to improve how a map looks.
Okay. I'm Tom Talbot. Maybe you answered the question. So the data that you put into SatScan was not smoothed?
No.
Okay, because I was getting confused. It looked like you smoothed the data and then you ran SatScan. So.
No, I'm sorry if I did not make it clear. No, the data was not smoothed in SatScan. We only smoothed it to show the maps for the variations of birth defects. Yes.
Hi, I am Ahmed Mohammed from Maricopa County in Arizona. And usually when you use SatScan, you end up with a circular-shaped cluster. But the cluster you showed on the map wasn't really circular. So what was the cluster of the what was the shape of the final cluster you end up with? And how that different from the one you showed on the map?
Well, let me see if I can answer. And if not, I will call Dr. Doyle, are you here? Maybe you can help me.
Yes,
thank you.
I can try and answer that.
Okay.
Yes, we use the secular meter for investigation in the past, but you probably know that SatScan uses the central, the geographical centroid. So in as far as the distribution of the geographical centroids, yes, they are secular. But when you bring that in to mark in bring it to ArcGIS, obviously because the polygons that are making these reports are not regular shapes, yeah, so you end up with clusters, but the cluster that doesn't look cyclic because of that.
Thank you.
I'm David from the Alaska Cancer Registry. I was just wondering if you had given thought to the cause of your clusters.
I'm sorry, if you could, I could speak to the cause?
Yes.
Okay. We do not know. As you know, with our studies, some things you cannot explain because, like I showed, we thought some social demographic variables could explain it. We don't know. That would be the next step, of course, like I mentioned in our conclusions, that we need to look into the reasons why that cluster was formed. So those are the next steps in our study to try and find out, and maybe even when we do, for example, do analysis by the different categories of birth defects, probably we'll find different things. At this time, I don't know.
So I think it probably speaks to the limitation of sparseness in your data, because the software you use to detect clusters, it relies on some sort of threshold statistics, right? So if you don't have enough sample in terms of the numerator and denominator, then you're probably not going to be able to detect any clusters, significant clusters. So the cluster we saw mostly in Clark County, which is the most densely populated area in whole Nevada, we have about 70% of the population. I think that contributes to the detection of clusters in that area. And another reason, I saw that Hispanics tend to have a higher rate of birth defect, right? About 35%. We have a higher percentage of Hispanics in southern Nevada as well compared to northern Nevada. I mean, that probably just a reflection of confounding by Hispanics, you know.